the living Jesus. So this month, the theme for the month is possessing your possession, or possessing our possession. So today I'm doing the part two of the message, and next week Sunday Pastor Fernanda will be with us, and he will be ministering next week Sunday. So let's look forward to that. But I want to go straight to my message this afternoon, because I want us to pray. Because you cannot just possess your possession. There are things you need to do. There are actions you have to take. You cannot possess your possession when you are just folding your hands and just waiting for it to come to you. You have to take action. You have to do something. So I really want to zero in on five practical ways to possess your possession. Five practical ways that you can take your inheritance. You can take what, remember, this is yours. Does that make sense? This is possession. These are your inheritance. So five practical ways that you can possess what belongs to you. Okay, number one, knowledge. Scripture says in Hosea 4 and verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you don't know something is yours, how can you claim it? Ignorance has been said to be the cancer of the 21st century. Oftentimes they say, if you want to hide something from some individual, put it in the middle of a book, because they will never read, so they will never look for it. I had a story of a young man who needed money, and the grandma will always put money in the Bible. In the prison, I'll tell him, go and read the Bible. Have you read the Bible today? Go and read the Bible. The guy will be asking his grandma for money. The grandma can afford it, but the woman will say, go and take the Bible in your room and read. It was when grandma died, and he now found $100 on every page of the Bible. You can imagine how many pages, and these are big Bibles. Every page of the Bible. So without knowledge, you cannot know what Christ has for you. You cannot possess, because if you don't know there is money in your account, how can you claim it? Does that make sense? You cannot claim it. So knowledge, knowing, is important before you can do. You get into an exam hall, if you don't know what to do, you cannot do it. So you need to know to do. You need to know to possess your possession. Okay, we spoke 2 weeks ago about the fact that Scripture says, upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. Some people need to be delivered from the bondage of ignorance, because they just don't know. You know, there are some things that my children don't know because it's beyond their pay grade. They just don't know. By the time we come, they would know. And they will be able to ask, and they can seek, and they can understand. Okay? It will be extremely difficult, ladies and gentlemen, for you and I to possess those things which are legitimately yours, if you are not even aware they belong to you in the first place. These are legitimately things that are yours, but you cannot possess them if you don't know they are yours. Am I making sense? Many people, ladies and gentlemen, they are ignorant of their inheritance through Christ. For us to be free from bondage of ignorance, you must actively seek for knowledge through reading, studying, and meditating on God's word. That is why the word of God is powerful. The most important book, according to a survey done in America, the most important book on earth. Because scientists discovered that every great book that was written, 10 years later, that book will be nullified. There will be a better edition. Or somebody will say something to counterfeit what has been said. You know, people that got Nobel Prize 20 years ago, they have discredited that now. They have another, because there's always improvement. If you look at the cars, we have 20, even 10, 8 years ago, and the cars we have now, they are better. But the Bible cannot be improved upon. Is the one book, is the one thing on earth that you can't have a better improvement. And the Bible is over 2,000 years old. So when you read the Bible, when you study the Bible, you are able to know. Very quickly, Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 13. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 13. So knowledge is a necessity for you to possess. Because when you know, you can make plans. Get Therefore, my people go into exile because they lack knowledge of God, and their honorable men are famished, and common places are parched with thirst. Can I have an NLT, please? So we can see, but the scripture I'm going to is 13. It says, therefore, my people go into exile because of lack of knowledge, because they don't know me. How do you know God if you don't read the word of God? How do your inheritance, your possession is in Christ Jesus? And to know Christ, you have to read the word of God. I pray God will help us in the name of Jesus. Number two, knowing, as important as knowing is, you need to stand firm. You need to stand strong. You know, scripture talks about fight the good fight of faith. There is one fight that scripture says we should fight. It's called the good fight. In other words, there are bad fights. Am I making sense? 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. So there are some fights that scripture expects you to fight. Don't be quiet. You have to fight certain fights because they are for faith. So for you and I to take possession of the land, the children of Israel, okay, they have to stood their ground. They fought and claimed that which God had declared to be their inheritance by prevailing against and displacing the Canaanites. They have to stand firm. You can imagine you are in a fight. You are in a physical fight and you are running. You can imagine watching a boxing fight. Or, you know, that's why sometimes when you watch wrestling, it's comedy. They are chasing themselves around. They are not ready to fight. Look at an example of someone that fought the good fight. Jabez. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9 to 10. He fought the good fight. The story of Jabez was summarized just in two verses. That was the story of Jabez. But he stood the gap. He said, was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. Next verse, verse 10. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all troubles and pain." And the Lord granted him his request. Bible scholar said what happened there took years. It was explained in two verses. But do you know he was bullied? He was ridiculed. Because you know some people, their name is so funny, we make fun of their name. One of my friends back in secondary school, may he so rest in peace, his name is Mumuni, so we call him Mumu. you know, certain names, we just make joke of it. And you start making joke of that name. So you can imagine, you know, often when people hear your name, they ask you, what does that mean? Then my name means pain, because my mother gave birth when I was, okay, Brother Pain, Mr. Pain, Uncle Pain, Daddy Pain. You can imagine. So it got to a point he couldn't bear it anymore. He stood firm and fought and possessed, because you see, for him to have prayed this prayer, he caught a revelation that God could think that there is more to my life than this. There is a possession for me. There are inheritance. This is not God's plan for me. God must have something more for me. The woman with the issue of the blood is another example. Scripture said for 12 years he had suffered. 12 years. And you know what happened? He heard that Jesus was around. And he said, if I can touch him. He stood, you see, for her to see Jesus, it was tough because there were a crowd. There were a crowd there. But she stood firm, said, I just need to touch him. So, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot possess if you can't stand firm. If you stand today, tomorrow you fall, you are inconsistent, you can't possess. You cannot possess. I pray God will help us in the name of Jesus. Number three, relentless faith. Not just faith, but relentless faith. The word relentless means non-stop. In other words, I can say non-stop faith. I cannot. The word also means persistent, continuous, constant. So I can say you need to have constant faith. You need to have continuous faith. It's not off and on faith. Oh, faith as you feel. Faith on Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, no faith. And then you pick it up again after day four. No, you have to have relentless faith. And that was what Daniel did in the book of Daniel, chapter 10. Scripture says that the first day Daniel prayed, guess what? God answered him. Wow. So can I tell you, sometimes when you actually pray, God, help me in this exam. Help me in this coursework. God hears. But that friend will now call you. Let's go clubbing. Ah. Oh, let's go and watch a movie. You have just prayed to God to help you, to give you wisdom in your assignment. And then the devil will now use somebody to distract you. You now say, well, I'll do it later. That's a distraction. Because you have said a prayer to God. So we have to be sensitive. Scripture says, the first day Daniel prayed. Okay, since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before the Lord, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answers to your prayer. Verse 13. But there was a spirit that held him. There was a spirit that held him. So when we pray, God hears us. But we have to have relentless faith. See, many people will tend to blame God when the answers is coming late. Why? The answer is not coming. Why? Why is God not hearing me? Maybe I've sinned. Maybe this, maybe that. Sometimes you haven't done anything wrong. But there are forces that are fighting. So that you don't possess your possession. Because the moment you possess your possession, guess what? You become unstoppable. The moment you possess your possession, oh, the kingdom of devil, the kingdom of hell, they are in trouble. You begin to torment them. You begin to fight them. You begin to win souls for the kingdom of God. You begin to depopulate the kingdom of hell and populate the kingdom of God. And the devil does not want that. And that's why. Because when you possess your possession, you're able to do, you're able to be an example, you're able to shine, you're able to, the scripture says in Matthew 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine that people will see your good works and glorify God. When it seems God is not hearing you, does that make sense? When it seems as if God is not hearing, because God hears first time. Persist. Carry on. Don't continue your faith. And it's a matter of time, it will come. Number four, don't give up. Many people, oftentimes, people give up so quick. People give up so soon. People give up so early. You cannot possess your possession if you are the type that will give up so quick. You cannot give up. When the spies went to spy the land, and they came back, they said there were giants in there. But two people didn't give up. Ladies and gentlemen, the moment you give up, that is it. You cannot possess. Because, you see, in possessing your possessions, there will be, you see, when the children of Israel got to the promised land, it wasn't empty. There were already occupants there. There were people who were already enjoying what is coming to them. If they had given up, that would have been the end of it. That would have been the end of it. You see, people who succeed in life are people who never gave up. If you see all these businessmen who have made it, they will tell you they've done 20 businesses that failed. but this one clicked. This one, in fact, they will tell you that they are still losing money here and there in some other businesses, but they didn't give up. You see, scripture says that Joshua, he was 85 years old when he says, God, give me this land. You see, Joshua, 85, did not give up or become lazy in claiming his possession. And this was a promise that that God told him when he was 40. You can imagine. 45 years later, he has not given up. He's still possessing. He's still claiming. You see, ladies and gentlemen, challenges will come. Challenges will come. Challenges is part of life. It just makes us to depend on God the more. Am I making sense? Challenges will come. You see, if it's easy to possess your possession, everybody will have possessed. You just wake up, I possess it. You just take it. You want to possess medicine, I just say, I claim doctor. And I will become one today. I claim lawyer. I'll just look at Christian, I say, I claim chartered accountant. she will tell you, Bilam, hey, it's not by claiming. It took me years of hard work. It took me years of reading, of the system breaking down, of this, of that. But now I'm there. She didn't give up. Many people started with her, but gave up on the way because of one or two challenges. It looks as if it was the right decision, but it was a distraction from the devil to sideline them, to make them go a different path. I pray for you and I, may we not give up in the name of Jesus. May we possess our possession in the name of Jesus. For many of us at a young age, our parents, if they have given up on us, we will not be where we are today. If they have given up on us, we will not be where we are today. You see, God does not waste his grace upon those who have decided to give up. God will not waste it. If you have decided to give up, God will not waste his grace on you because you've made up your mind. But when you say you will not give up, God will empower you. Grace will come so that you can possess your possession. Because you see, these things, they belong to you. Does that make sense? When you catch a revelation or understanding of those things that belong to you, you will chase them whether you are awake or you are sleeping. In your dreams, you will chase them. When you are driving, you will chase them. When you are cooking, you will chase them. Whatever you are doing, you will chase, because you will say, no, I'm not giving up. Because this thing belongs to me. This thing belongs to me. As somebody taking what belongs to you, and there's a pool that is yours, you don't give up. You don't give up. I was giving us an example 2 weeks ago. But when I was secondary school back in Nigeria, we buy a new textbook and we inscribe our name in the book, such a way that if somebody steals it, I will know it's mine. You can't. And if it is mine, I won't. If I don't get it, I won't give up. So I pray God help us in the name of Jesus. Number five, finally, probably one of the most important one. Warfare prayer. Warfare prayer. Very quickly, Ephesians 6 and verse 12. And this is very important, because scripture says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You get it? Our fight, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but principalities, against enemies, against evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirit in the heavenly places. So ladies and gentlemen, if you want to possess your possession, you have to be ready to go to war spiritually. It's not about fighting physically, it's spiritual battles. There are things that you cannot do physically, you have to do them in the spirit. Daniel, again, was an example of that. He had relentless faith to continue. He continued praying. He didn't give up in the place of prayer. He didn't give up. So ladies and gentlemen, it is important that in order for you and I to possess our possession, you have to pray. You have to pray because there are battles that you don't even see. There are battles that you don't even see. There are things that God, until you conquer them in the spirit, you cannot conquer them in the flesh. Until God gives you victory in the place of prayer, you cannot see physical victory. So prayer is you putting yourself in the hand of God. Many three things we learn from the story of Daniel. Like I said, immediately when you pray, God hears. Okay, spiritual beings will attack to block those prayers, and so you pray the more, because they are forces. They are forces. The fact that you have become a born again Christian, you are a threat to them. So they begin to attack you. They begin to distract you, both physically and spiritually. But if you can conquer them in the place of prayer, if you can conquer in the spirit, you will overcome in the flesh. Because what we see in the flesh is a result of answered prayer in the spirit. It is possible for us to prevail in prayer if we do not give up, but we fast and we pray until the answer comes. We fast and we pray. We fast and we pray. We fast and we pray. Because you are going to fight an opposition, you have to prepare. You know what you need to do. Prayer is, you see, prayer is probably the icing or the cake. You can do everything. If you have not spent quality time in prayer, you are not ready. You are not ready. Those things, you see, and you know the irony is, your possessions that is not in your hand is not useful for someone else. Am I making sense? You can imagine now. You bought clothes for me. You bought clothes for Minister Tosin. We are not the same size. If I'm not aware of mine, he cannot wear them because it won't look good on him. I cannot wear his own because it will be too small for me. So those your possessions, they will just be there. Rotting, that will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. I pray that you possess your possession, those things that belongs to you, whoever has held them, wherever they are. I decree and declare you will receive in the name of Jesus. I pray for you and I, those things that belongs to you, not only they belong to your name is inscribed on them, your name is on it, you will get it in the name of Jesus. Let us rise up on our feet. I want you to pray. I want you to pray for wisdom. I say, God, give me wisdom to know things that belong to me. Help me to stand firm, Lord. Help me to be relentless in my faith. Help me not to give up. And help me in the place of prayer to persevere, to pray, to push. Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. Pray. Scripture says, pray until your joy is full. So if your joy is not full, why should you stop? Why should you stop? I want to just pray and say, God, I will possess all of my possessions. Those things that belongs to me. Those things that, you see, the interesting thing is, before you were born, God has those things for you. It is not useful for somebody else. You know, twins, siblings. If a sibling didn't possess their possession, the other person cannot use it because they have two different destiny. It doesn't matter whether they are born immediately, or whether they are twins, they are identical twins, they look alike. In fact, if you see one, you will get confused. It's not useful. It is this possession, it is people specific. It is unique to an individual. No two person can share the same possession. It is yours. I want you to pray and say, God, help me to possess, because those things, they are useless if I don't maximize them. If I don't have them, nobody else can use it. So the plan of the devil is to make you to use it, because when you don't use it, then the devil is able to carry on his assignment. You know, one of the things that will happen is when you possess your possession, guess what? Everybody around you, first and foremost, will benefit. Just say, go into what and preach the gospel. First in Judea, in Samaria, in your hometown, in your city, in your village. And then you can extend to the uttermost part of the earth, the rest of the world. The people who are close to you. If Bishop Isaac become rich now, there's no way he will forget Mr. Tosin. Amen. There's no way. Mr. Tosin will benefit from it. That is why he must possess your book. And if we all possess, we will all benefit from each other. And then before us, I want us to pray and say, Holy Spirit, help me. God, help me. I want to possess those things that belong to me in the name of Jesus. Every battle, every generational curses, those things that is holding back my prayer. Can you imagine the moment you pray, God answers? But you don't see. It's not because God is unkind. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, you can spend 10 days of fasting and prayer. Pray for one thing. And somebody else who's even fasting, we pray and God will answer them. You're thinking, but me, I've been waiting on God. It's not because God is doesn't like you. No. God loves everyone equally. Yet some people are special because they live in obedience, but God still loves everyone. God loves a sinner the way he loves a pastor. God's love upon everyone is the same. But when there are spiritual forces, when there are spiritual battles, when there are spiritual cloud, negativity that will stop that prayer, but the other person, there is no spiritual cloud. Those things have been cleared. They will enjoy their possession. I want you to pray. Every spiritual forces that is fighting against my possession, that is stopping me from possessing those things that belong to me. Karu zakete boshka le batabada zakete brigodo le kojekete brigodo le sukete brigodo la rekesekete brigodo jekete brigodo masikete brigodo le prasataga rakatege debo jekete brigodoska. You will possess. I will possess. We will possess in the name of Jesus. GBC Birmingham will possess in the name of Jesus. Le kasikete brigodo rakata badabada majekete brigodo leke sekete brigodo. Oh Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Hallowed be thy name. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed.